This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Hey, we've got a great show in store for you today. Got a lot of guests for you. Could give us a call and talk sports with us right here on AM 870. We're going to start out talking hockey with our good friend Scott Moore, the voice of MSU Hockey. And let's bring in Scott Moore today. Hey, Scott, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Earl. Happy holidays to
hey,
you.
Hey, same to you, my friend. Hey, and the team finally got off this night and got them a win. I know you'll give me credit for it since I wasn't there at the game.
That's right. Yes, we give you credit in absentia. Because it's like I said to you before, what didn't happen that night? You didn't walk in the door.
Well, so I'll take credit for it either way.
It was either that or the Penguins I had on my tie that night.
Who knows? Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah. So what happened? I mean, how did the Spartans end up scoring so many goals?
Well, three isn't all that many.
For them, it is.
In recent history, at least, yeah. Goals have not been easy to come by. And, I think a lot of it was that they got the first goal. And you get a little bit of, that helps you out. That helps you settle down a little bit. They had been playing from behind so much this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they've only had the lead, I think, in five games.
Wow.
Through the whole first half of the season, counting last Saturday. So, that does a lot for a team to know that you have the lead and to play with the lead is so much easier.
Yeah, because you can be a little bit more aggressive, can't you, when you have the lead?
You can, you're not always focusing on where's that goal going to come from. You can sit back and play a little bit of defense, and Tom Anastas still wants this team to be attacking all the time, and they are. The amazing thing about this is how many times, even though they've lost, how many times the coaches have said, but we like the way they're playing because they're not getting blown out of games.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So now that's got to give them some confidence to build on going into the GLI, which that has to be a very positive for them, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly lets you go on your Christmas break with a little better taste in your mouth. I mean, you walk out of there happy, you're smiling. And you head home for some downtime with your family and you don't have the weight of seven in a row without winning, weighing on your shoulders at that point. You're feeling better about things. And, the mental attitude is half of the game right there. So, these guys will come back. They'll come back on Christmas night and practice there and then, head down to Detroit for a Saturday-Sunday indoors Great Lakes Invitational rather than the outdoors one that they thought they were going to get at the start of the season.
Yes. Now, I would assume this would still be a very happy and a very enthusiastic Great Lakes tournament just because there's no hockey going on. You think this will probably be even a little bit more attentive people, a little bit more excitement among the fans, having some hockey. They haven't had any hockey all winter.
I would think we may get a few Red Wings fans that come into the building just because, it's been so long since they've had anything to do in that building. Who would have figured that this would be the first real competitive hockey game that Joe Louis Arena would see all season? Would be on the 28th and 29th of, or the 29th and 30th, I guess, of December. But sure enough, it is. So hopefully we'll have a packed house for these games between Michigan State and Western early on Saturday and then Michigan and Michigan Tech on later in the night on Saturday. And then all those Spartans hang around downtown and watch the Buffalo Wild Wings bowl together.
Yes, because that'll be coming up shortly thereafter. So that should be a fun weekend down in Detroit.
I think it's going to be a fun weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm already making plans on how I can do as much of my prep work for whatever matchup we have on Saturday before that football game starts.
And so Michigan State, enjoy that. And hopefully, I'm just hoping that the hockey team will play well. And, you know, there'll be a lot of excitement just for the GLI because it's such a great tournament. And it has been for a long time.
Well, one thing that'll be good for the hockey team is the fact that, by the time they all get back together, there'll be a couple of guys that have been out of the lineup with injuries lately, Ryan Keller and Lee Reimer. Should both be back and should be able to be cleared in time for the Great Lakes Invitational, we hope. So, as long as everything continues on with their healing. And that'll be the first time in probably more than a month that Tom Anastas will have to make a choice as to which forward sits out. He hasn't had to make a coach's decision scratch for quite a while because of the injury situation.
Now, since we've got the team going now, do you think that it's such a long time between playing games that they might be a little sluggish, or do you think they'll come out being pretty strong and really hitting on all cylinders after that win?
You always expect them to be a little bit rusty because you know they're going home, and a lot of the guys took their gear home with them. I saw Anthony Hayes walking out with sticks on Saturday night after the game because he was going to hit the ice back home in Canton during the break. So they're all going to be on the ice. They're all going to be skating, but they're not skating as hard as they do during a practice.
Yeah.
You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. So there will be a little bit of rust on the guys. The interesting thing is that Coach Anastas had them coming back on Christmas night because the Great Lakes Invitational, if it were going to be played outdoors at Comerica Park, was supposed to be on the 27th and 28th.
Yeah.
The Thursday and Friday. So he had them coming back on Tuesday night for a practice and then head down to Detroit on Wednesday. Well, now he's still having them come back on Tuesday evening. And he'll have all day Wednesday to practice with them, all day Thursday. And then on Friday, they're going to get on a bus and do what we did a little bit earlier this season when we went up to Sault Ste. Marie. They're going to stop off in Macomb and do an open practice at a Suburban Ice in Macomb. And so that will be open to the public. You can come and watch the guys practice, and then they'll be on the ice. They won't resurface. The ice will be all scratched up and everything, and you can come out on the ice in your street shoes and meet the guys and get autographs and take pictures. They'll be out there for about 45 minutes after practice to meet and greet the public. It was a fun event when we did it up in Charlevoix, Sheboygan on our way up to the Sioux, and it should be just as much fun in Macomb next week.
Especially, I would think, because there hasn't been any hockey for so long, at least pro hockey, that probably will resonate well with the kids there and with the people there, just because they're sort of starved to see hockey.
Yeah, and now you're going to be in a larger metropolitan area. You'll have more people to draw from. I was honestly flabbergasted. Which is a great word. That's a $20 word, by the way.
Yeah.
I was honestly flabbergasted by the number of people that showed up in Sheboygan for that meet and greet. It was amazing. And they came early and watched practice and then just flooded the ice. And they loved meeting those guys. So I think this could be something kind of special coming up a week from Friday.
From what you've seen in that last game and that win, Scott, how do you think it can help propel itself on to more wins or maybe playing a better offensive hockey?
Well, keep one thing in mind. The schedule that Michigan State has played through the first half of the season, the first half actually concludes with the game against Western, the first game of the Great Lakes Invitational. That's when we'll be at the halfway point of the season. But through the first part of the season here, they've played I think it has been the most difficult college hockey schedule in the nation. Because you had Minnesota in there, you had Notre Dame, Miami, who are all up at the top of the CCHA. Niagara's a good team. So they've had a very, very difficult opening schedule. Now in the second half of the season, you get some of the guys that you haven't seen yet that are down towards the bottom of the league, not meaning that these guys are going to be cakewalks by any means, but you're going to be playing some guys that aren't having quite as good a season. You got a little bit more of a chance to maybe pick up some wins, and they're going to be home a little bit in the second half of the season. There's only 7 home games in the first half of the season as opposed to 10 in the second half of the season. That can make a difference. So I'm looking for some good things as this young team continues to grow and see some different opponents. You may see a few more wins coming their way.
Yeah. Now year in and year out, we always talk about the schedule, and a lot of times we sort of question it. It's like a crazy schedule. But how do you look at this year's schedule?
Well, it's been probably both good and bad for the guys because, like I said, they've been on the road so much. And they've played such good teams in the first part of the season that it's been baptismal by fire for them. And they've responded to a certain extent. I mean, they've played well, even if their record doesn't show that they've played well. So I think that bodes well for these guys as they continue to grow as the season goes on. Now they get some home games here after the break, and I think that that's going to help them. So and they've got some good teams coming in too. You've got some interesting teams. You got Ferris will be here for one more game. We've got two games up in Big Rapids. You got Notre Dame, who's leading the league, is coming in for a pair of games again. And they played very, very close with Notre Dame on the Friday night, and then things just kind of got away from them on Saturday, even though Tom Anastas says the team may have played better on Saturday than they did on Friday. You've got some interesting stories with Penn State coming in for the first time late in January. That's going to be fun to see Guy Gadowski and his first-year team at Penn State coming in and get an extra taste of what the Big Ten Hockey Conference is going to be like. And you've got Northern Michigan coming in for the last time as a CCHA member, so that's going to be big. We wrap up the season with Western Michigan at home, and they're going to be right in the thick of the conference championship battle. It's going to be a good second half, and I like the fact that they're going to be home a little bit in the second half.
Well, let me put you on the spot here, Scott.
All right.
What players do you think have really grown that you've seen so much so far over the first half of the season?
I like what I'm seeing defensively out of R.J. Boyd, who was really a question mark coming in. I think he's developing into a very solid defenseman. I think John Drager is going to be a star at some point at Michigan State. I think he's still kind of feeling his way along, but he's been real solid defensively for the Spartans. I like what I've seen, and I haven't seen a whole lot of Ryan Keller because of the injury. I think he's going to have a good career at Michigan State. Those are some of the names. I like what I'm seeing out of Brent Darnell and recently out of Tanner Sorensen, too.
Okay. Hey, Scott, always a good pleasure talking with you, my friend. I appreciate that I'm the MVP for this last game.
You were the fourth star out of three, okay?
Okay.
We'll give you that.
Okay. We'll talk to you later, my friend.
All right, and I want to wish you and all of your audience a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Hey, same to you, Scott.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. And that's Scott Moore talking with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870 WKAR.
South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley appoints Representative Tim Scott to the U.S. Senate.
He earned this seat.
Now, Hawaii's governor will name a replacement for Daniel Inouye, who died on Monday. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin returns as President Obama and Speaker John Boehner edge closer to a deal on taxes and spending cuts. Join us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Pohl. Mostly cloudy and a high of 43 today. Maybe rain and snow tonight, the low 35. Windy Thursday, rain maybe mixed with snow and also possibly thunderstorms, the high tomorrow 45. Friday, an inch or less of blowing snow, the high 33 degrees.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And now we're going to talk men's basketball with Brian Calloway from the Lansing State Journal. So let's bring in Brian. Brian, how you doing, my man?
I'm not too bad. How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. And, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about I know you've been covering a lot of women's basketball. So let's talk about women's basketball. I know you covered football during football season, some of men's basketball. So you're all over the place, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Hey, let's talk this women's basketball. I mean, the team is 9-1. They're not ranked nationally. Why do you think they're not ranked nationally?
I just think, you know, just with the schedule that they played. I know when the schedule came out, you know, Susie Merchant and staff thought it would be a pretty good schedule, just based on, you know, they were facing a lot of teams that, you know, played in the postseason last year. With, you know, there's, I believe, 9 teams that made the NCAA tournament, you know, several others that made, you know, WNIT and tournaments like that. So I think that the schedule hasn't proven out to be as tough as initially thought it was. You know, some of those teams, like the Eastern Michigan team, who was coming off an NCAA tournament berth last year, haven't performed, you know, the way that, you know, expected to this season. So I think, you know, that kind of plays into it. And then, you know, they did have a test against the one-ranked team, which is their lone loss. I mean, it was kind of a close game. They were in it the whole time, but they were a little bit shorthanded in that game too. But, I mean, if they would have won that game, I know they definitely would have got it in the polls. But, yeah, I just think it's just a combination that they do with, you know, the schedule that they've had so far. But with the Big Ten play right around the corner, I mean, I think something like that can change if they're able to pull off some big conference wins here.
Do you think, in a way, that all the injuries that they've had and they've gone through might have helped them, because so many players are getting playing time that probably wouldn't have gotten much time if it weren't for all those injuries?
Yeah, I mean, it's helped in a sense just to build some confidence in some people. I mean, for example, Jasmine Thomas, who's having an excellent senior season as the point guard. I mean, I think that, you know, her being able to play all those minutes, you know, kind of allowed her to, you know, play through mistakes and not be constantly looking over her shoulder, knowing that if she made a mistake, she was going to get pulled out. So, I mean, I think it might have helped in some instances. And others, you know, obviously with, you know, they were primarily playing a 6-person rotation, you know, for those first 9 games of the season. So, obviously, you know, kind of the wear and tear that it provides on the body early in the season, I mean, that's not good. But, yeah, I mean, it did help in some aspects.
What about, we've seen Clarissa Bell has played a lot, and Annalise Picarel. They've both been tremendous players for them. How do you look at that? They've really progressed over the year this year, haven't they?
Yeah, Clarissa Bell, actually, you know, she's one of the leading, she's had the most point improvement of all players in the Big Ten this season. So she's definitely been someone that's really picked up her game. And, I mean, she's doing it not just scoring, but, you know, defensively. I mean, a lot of times she's guarding, you know, the best offensive guard in the other team. And, you know, this Michigan State team has, you know, been able to shut down opponents, you know, top leading scorers all season. I mean, they've always held them below their average in each of their 10 games so far this season. So Clarissa Bell has just been a big contributor in all areas for the team. You know, Pickerel as well. I mean, she's stepped up this season as well. I mean, she didn't really, you know, play as much in the past 2 years, but she's kind of taken advantage of the playing time that she's had and, you know, been one of the key scorers for this team and provided some critical outside shooting for the team that kind of helps to stretch defenses out.
Yes, and when you look at Courtney Schiffauer, she's always been a good defensive player, but she's starting to score a little bit more, isn't she?
Yes, she is. I mean, she's averaging a career high, 7.9 points this season so far. And, I mean, she's doing a lot of different things offensively for them. I mean, she's playing the four, and that position deals with a lot of passing. And, you know, she's setting up teammates for scores. She's getting to the glass and rebounding. I mean, she's had 2 straight double-doubles. So she's kind of putting it all together this season as a senior. And Coach Merchant said that her and Jasmine Thomas have kind of been the biggest, you know, most pleasant surprises for her this season, and the 2 players that she's been most impressed with.
Yes. Now, how would you rate Becca Mills and Jasmine Hines? They're big players. It seems they've been putting up pretty good, pretty good numbers for most of the year.
Yeah, Becca Mills kind of started the season slow. I mean, she was struggling from the field. I think she started shooting only like 22% or something in that range. But she's gradually picked things up of late here, scored in double figures in four straight games, and she's kind of getting things coming together. And then, you know, Jasmine Hines, obviously, you know, she had to miss the dating game to attend the funeral of her close friend. But I mean, she's had a pretty solid season, you know, as one of the main subs off the bench. And you know, she's averaging 10.1 points off the bench, which is and she's been a pretty valuable sixth person for the Spartans so far this season.
Yes, yeah, so the team is done pretty well. With that, do you see any pitfalls coming ahead, or do you just like the way they're playing and think that they can continue playing the way they've been playing?
Well, I think they can definitely continue playing the way they've been playing. It helps with them getting a couple more players back. Obviously, Keanu Johnson and Akiah Taylor both had to miss the first nine games of the season because of NCAA rules violation, but both of those girls came back in the game on Sunday against Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne. So the return of them definitely helped this team out, especially if it goes into the Big Ten play. And you have to keep in mind that Johnson was a All-Big Ten freshman performer last season, and she was the team's leading assist. She led the team in assists of about 4.9 per game as well, too. So, I mean, that's a valuable addition that they are getting back right there. And she came and had 8 points and six assists in her first game on Sunday.
Okay. Give us a call. We're talking about basketball with Brian Calloway from the Lansing State Journal, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us on AM 870. Well, the Spartans play host to Oregon State today at 4 o'clock. Would this considered be a pretty good test, or at least a good matchup playing a Pac-10 team and a Big Ten team matching up this early?
I'm not so sure if Oregon State will be a good matchup for them, but I know Texas Tech, the game that they have tomorrow, and that last South Point holiday shootout in Vegas, I mean, that will be a good test for them because this Texas Tech team is kind of rolling along. They've won seven straight games, so they're a pretty hot team right now. They've been playing well so far this season, so Texas Tech should definitely be a good test for them tomorrow. I mean, today, Oregon State, they have three freshmen that are playing big roles for them, so it'll be interesting to see how they match up with them, but I mean, I think this is the Oregon State game is one the Spartans should be able to win there. But, I mean, both of this Oregon State and Michigan State are kind of similar because you know, they're both, you know, good defensive teams. And you know, they're both holding teams to under 40% shooting on the season. So, I mean, that should be an interesting test just to see if, you know, they're able to get enough points to beat them. But, yeah, I think the Texas Tech game will definitely be the bigger test of the two that they face out in Las Vegas.
When you look at the bench overall, how do you see the bench play? Obviously, it's been pretty good so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously been very short and just because of the injury. So, I mean, for a while there, it was mainly, Jasmine Hines coming off the bench and then Merchant trying to mix and match a couple of freshmen with Kara Miller and Mariah Harris would come off and give them some minutes here and there. But, I mean, it's gotten stronger with the Keanu Johnson back and also, you know, with the Akiah Taylor back. It's definitely gotten stronger with those two back. It's just going to be a matter of them, you know, having the girls that are still left remaining healthy. Obviously, last week they just lost the highly talented freshman Brandi Agee for the season, and she was starting to become a factor and kind of working her way back from a foot injury that she suffered at the preseason. So, I mean, the bench could have been stronger if, you know, she wouldn't have gone down with an ACL injury. But, I mean, they have two valuable players on the bench with Hines and Johnson. And, I mean, we don't know exactly what you're going to get with Taylor yet. So it'll be interesting to see how she develops.
When you look at Coach Merchant, how do you think she's dealing with and handling all these injuries? I mean, we know she's had injuries in the past, but it seems like this year there might be a little bit more than the average years they have some injuries.
Yeah, it's been a rough season for her as far as dealing with, missing players. I mean, obviously with the injuries to start and then, you know, having the two players out for the nine games too. I mean, she's had to kind of navigate, you know, the early schedule with a lot of adversity, and
have been able to have success doing that. So what she's done has been very impressive so far, and it'll be interesting to see what she's able to do with this group and Big Ten play. I mean, obviously, the group has been – the core group of six has really been playing well together, and, you know, just to add these – you know, Keanu Jackson and Taylor to the mix. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they continue to kind of gel and, you know, how they do moving forward with, you know, a couple more extra bodies.
And when you look at Madison Williams, how do you see her projecting? How do you see – do you see her – she won't be back again for another year. Have you talked to her at all, and what she expect? I assume she's going to probably try to come back one more time.
Yeah. I mean, we talked to her, you know, shortly after the injury, and, yeah, I mean, she, you know, kind of said that, you know, from sitting out last year, I mean, she loves the game of basketball. And, I mean, she wouldn't have come back if she didn't love it. But, yeah, she'll try to come back. And, I mean, obviously, you know, third straight year having an ACL injury, it's going to be tough for her to come back from. But, I mean, it's something that she's kind of determined to do. And, you know, Dr. Shingles, who works with the women's basketball team, you know, said that, you know, he thinks that she can definitely come back if she chooses to. So, yeah, I mean, right now it seems like she's leaning on coming back and returning for another year next year.
And that's good. When you look at this team and how they've played, I mean, 9-1 thus far, and they've been playing great. Sometimes the competition is really good, and sometimes, you know, it's a little bit of average or maybe even below average. But what do you see? How do you see this team progressing? Look into your crystal ball.
Well, I definitely think they can be right. I mean, if they continue to play defense the way they play defense, you know, through these first 10 games of the season, I mean, I think they can definitely be there in the top, you know, echelon of the Big Ten. I mean, they're going to face some big tests, you know, coming up. You know, they have Penn State early in the Big Ten schedule, and then you have Ohio State, who's having another solid season. Nebraska is good. So, I mean, there's a lot of good women's basketball team programs in the Big Ten. And, I mean, they're going to need to, you know, continue to have the defensive mindset that they've had through these, you know, first 10 games of the season, kind of carry that forward and, you know, continue to be able to kind of limit the success of opposing teams' top players. I mean, like I said, I mean, they've done a really good job of shutting down top players from opposing teams as far as limiting their scoring production so far through this early stretch of the season. And, I mean, that's something that they're going to have to continue to do moving forward in order to have some success.
Yes, yeah, so when you look at a team that obviously is very impressive, 9-1 at this early part of the season, and you know, and they're going, and a lot of the subs, players who were reserves are now in the starting roles and are playing very well and playing a lot better. Do you see those players who were once reserves and they're starters now? Could there be some trouble if the other players, some of the other players, better players come back? Could that cause some problems, or is this team really just a very good chemistry is really good?
I believe the chemistry is really good. I mean, I think the only position that, you know, maybe could change, but I don't really see this happening right now, is, you know, with Keanu Johnson. She started 28 of 32 games as a freshman last year at point guard. And Jasmine Thomas inherited that point guard position, you know, once she was suspended. And Thomas really did a good job through those, you know, this first 10 games of the season. She's done a really great job and had a commanding presence. But, you know, Keanu Jackson also has a very commanding presence at the point guard. So it'll be interesting to see how the point guard, you know, situation folds out and how kind of Thomas plays now that, you know, Johnson is back as well, too. So, I mean, that just is something to, you know, keep watching as the season progresses. But, you know, Thomas has done a very good job through these first 10 games of the season, and, you know, she's done exactly what Merchant has asked for her, as being having a commanding presence both on the offensive end and the defensive end of the floor.
Yes. Now, when you look at those players and when they play and they've come to play very well, and so you don't see any problems at all with these young players, because sometimes, you know, young players they don't know a lot of their roles. Do these players, they really understand their roles and what they have to do night in and night out?
Yeah. Definitely the ones that are in the playing group definitely understand their roles. I mean, early on in the season, I mean, there was Kara Miller and Mariah Harris, the two freshmen. I mean, they were playing just, you know, but they were mainly playing just because of, you know, where the team stood as far as depth, and they needed, you know, someone to fill in some minutes here and there. And, you know, at times they showed flashes in those minutes, but, you know, I think Merchant is definitely more comfortable with the group that she's playing now, with, you know, the core group of the five starters that she's had, and then, you know, Jasmine Hines off the bench, Keanu Johnson off the bench, and now kind of Akiyah Taylor kind of working her way in the mix off the bench as well, too.
So it's sort of like those injuries have sort of helped the team in a bit, been a blessing in disguise because it's really sort of helped her even out the rotation, and, you know, because I've seen in years past years where she just didn't know who to play and how to do a rotation, but it looks like it's been made easier for her this year.
There wasn't any injuries. I mean, there could be Ariel Powers. She's another highly talented freshman that they had. I mean, she could be in this mix at guard. Brandi Agee could be in the mix. And then you have Madison Williams in the post, who definitely could have helped them out in the post with, you know, Becca Mills and Jasmine Hines as well, too. So, I mean, they definitely could have been a lot deeper of a team as opposed to the, you know, the eight that they're primarily playing right now. But, yeah, I mean, in a sense, you know, I mean, there's a shortened rotation. Everyone knows their role, and everyone's kind of gotten the comfort level playing with each other because, I mean, it's pretty much all the key players that they have to play with so far. So,
and they're really drawing well at fan-wise. I know the few times I've been over there, it looks like they've had great crowds. And do you see that growing at all? Is it getting better, or is it just sort of a leveling off right now?
No, I mean, I've seen great crowds at every home game. I mean, they had an impressive crowd even at the Jenison game on Sunday. So, yeah, I mean, they've had a great crowd, and, you know, helps it. You know, they're doing a good job on the court. I mean, they've won all their home games, and, I mean, they've won each of their wins have been by more than 11 points this year. So, I mean, they've done a good job this season, and, I mean, that helps, you know, bring fans to the stands, too, when your team's performing well. So,
Hey, Brian, hey, I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and you have a good year, and I want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year's.
Yeah, same to you and all your listeners as well, too.
Okay, thanks a lot, Brian. We'll talk to you later on, buddy. Yep, bye-bye. And that's Brian Callaway talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And it's always nice talking with Brian from the Lansing State Journal. We want to talk with you. We're going to talk next with Jeff Kimmerly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. And we'll talk with him coming up. But first up, we got to tell you, you're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR, East Lansing.
Eric James and his partner hoped to adopt a child, so they signed up with an agency, but they also made a website.
Essentially, we're just putting together this marketing campaign to sell ourselves to a birth parent.
As more hopeful families and pregnant women head online to connect, a new report warns of risks. I'm Neil Conan, Adoption and the Internet. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Mostly cloudy and a high of 43 today. Tonight we could get rain and snow. Look for a low of 35. Windy tomorrow, rain and maybe thunderstorms. The rain possibly mixed with snow. The high 45. Blowing snow Friday, an inch or less of accumulation and a high in the low 30s. This is Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Right now, let's bring in another very good friend of ours. We have him on from time to time, and that's Jeff Kimmerly from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Earl. How are you?
Okay. It's glad to hear from you. I know I talked to you, asked you a lot of questions this morning. So,
it's good. It made me look up a couple more things. So, I'm only a year in here, so I'm still self-educating, and I actually went and talked to some people who know a lot more about that stuff than me. So,
well,
I'd be able to help you out.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, let's go over some of that. I talked with you about, Because we were talking a lot when you were at the State General, we talked a lot about a lawsuit that took place, and have you seen much help as far as more young ladies getting scholarships or getting representative or has it been, basically I asked you, I think, what is, has it been beneficial to volleyball or not? Do you think it's been beneficial to volleyball?
Well, I mean, we're through 5 years of season change, since the season's changed.
Yeah.
I think this is our sixth. I think 7-8 was our first school year. So, it's still a small sample size, but a sample size nonetheless. The view here at the MHSAA was that things were pretty good as they were, beforehand. And the scholarship thing is not necessarily what we feel drives high school sports by any means. We think of it as education and an experience for everyone, not just the elite. That said, though, I think people as a whole, when it comes to volleyball, they thought it was pretty good then. They think it's good now. Most of them have just changed around when they do things, but we're still having some success. Just like we were before. Of course, there are people, on one end that say we should have made this switch a long time ago, and here's why it's great. There are certainly still people who wish we still played volleyball in the winter and liked that scenario as well. But we feel like, the good things that we had going when it was in the fall, in the winter, are still going well in the fall. And, we've lost some athletes in that time. I'd look those numbers up, and volleyball participation is down 5% in the last 5 years. But I think you see more maybe what the switch prompted is girls basketball participation is down 11% in those 5 years. Girls basketball went from having the gym to themselves, being that main sport in the fall, a couple days a week, to going up against the boys in the winter and playing on a lot of same nights and things like that. And I think, I don't know how much volleyball has been pushed into the forefront. I know we talked this morning about attendance and girls volleyball finals attendance. I think we found on here is actually the last 4 years for the championships has seen some nice increases. I think it went down 1 year, but then it came back. But by the same token, girls basketball has maybe taken some tough times on as well with this switch.
Okay. Now, what about, we talked a little bit about football, of course. Now, I was wondering with all the talk on concussions and injuries, I know you there have focused a lot on that. Is it still pretty much the same, or how is football doing now just because of all the attention being paid to concussions?
Well, football is certainly down a little bit. In that last 5 years, it's down 7% total. About 3,200 fewer athletes since the 2006-07 school year. But that said, it's still our highest participated sport by a ton. We still had, in 11-12, we had 42,000 plus, nearly 43,000 athletes. Well, actually, you throw the eight players in there, we did have just a few short of 43,000 athletes. So, that's still a lot. That's still more than boys and girls basketball combined. As you'd expect, because football rosters are generally bigger and that sport is generally our most viewed at the playoff level as well. Attendance is always the highest. The safety stuff, is certainly a concern. It's something here that we've done a lot of work on. You can go to our website, MHSAA.com. If you go under education, we have just a vast amount of information on concussions and heat precautions and hydration and just about anything you can imagine. And we've done a lot of work. We've done a lot of work with the University of Michigan to promote awareness for concussions, things like that. And that's stuff that we're talking about right now. We had our representative council meeting, our fall meeting at the beginning of December. Those topics, the heat topic in particular, was discussed quite a bit. I think you'll see more discussions on that come out of our March and May meetings. And we're certainly looking at ways to make that sport safer, as you're seeing across the country right now. Georgia is a big example. They've made some pretty big changes to how they do things. The college level, as far as what they do with kickoffs and things like that, has made changes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know what? We're a few kids shorter than we are in terms of who's playing that sport, but we still have a lot, and we're still, I'd say we're upping the effort to make it even safer.
And that's good, of course. You know, we've talked about that a long time, and it's getting a lot safer, which is, of course, best for the kids, and it's good for the coaches as well. Do you think the coaches had to make pretty big transitions in how they coach the game, or do you think it's still maintained about the same level?
You know, I think there's more things to be aware of, because even in the last decade, when it comes to the concussion issue, we know so much more about this than we did, you know, 5 years ago, yeah. 10 years ago. You know, even when I played 15 to 20 years ago, gosh, I don't know that we ever talked about that stuff, you know, much of at all. Mm-hmm. We talked about proper tackling and things like that, mm-hmm. and not spearing and things like that. But now, this is a topic that's always out there. We have, for the last 2 years, had our rule where if someone is removed from a game because it looks like that player might have suffered a concussion, he or she cannot be returned to a game until a medical professional okays, you know, basically a doctor has to give the okay for that player to go back in, which is a national thing as well. So, you know, we're talking about a lot more things, and coaches have to be aware of a lot more that way. You know, that said, and they have to be aware of more with heat and things like that too. We've moved the season up a little bit when we expanded the playoffs and things like that. So, plus kids are out there training and stuff all through the summer. There's certainly a lot more that coaches have to pay attention to that way. But I think once they get on the field and everything like that, strategically, you know, it's kind of the same old, same old. They're still building young adults and teaching them some toughness and some other great things that come out of the game.
Okay. Well, no one thing that made me happy when you told me, Jeff, how much increase that girls cross country has made. Love to see even that sport, which is a sport I'm close to, is cross country is expanding, and a lot of more girls are getting involved.
Well, and that was definitely one of the neat things. Girls cross country in 2011-12. Set a participation record. They've set a couple of them here the last couple of years, but that one, it was the sport's up 15% in terms of participation since 2006-07, which is incredible. The boys is up 6%. So, you know, while some of these sports, you might see some people leaving football, maybe a few others, maybe leaving some basketball. I think athletes are still going somewhere. And the one thing we talked about this morning a little bit too, although maybe our participation is a little bit down. It still has not gone down as it did not go down in the last year as quickly as the total population of students in this state went down. So if we can stay in front of that number, student enrollments were down. The students of population of people student age at MHSA member schools was down, I think, 3.7%. And our participation was only down 1.5. So as long as we can stay in front of the population number, you know, we're doing something right, and people are still seeing the value.
Yeah. How much, if you can tell, how much the school of choice has helped or not helped, do you think?
I'm not sure if that helps or doesn't help. It depends on what's going on, I guess, because, you know, I don't know if it changes our numbers, because I think people would probably be participating regardless of what school they were attending. But it certainly changed the game a little bit. A lot of people like to talk about how, you know, you look at a private school and they might have people from, you know, a couple different communities. But I think school of choice has also allowed for that to happen and has evened things out that way. Not necessarily for good or for bad, but It certainly makes it so you can't just say, well, private schools have an unfair advantage, because although school of choice schools are generally letting in, you know, a certain handful at a time, it does change some things. And that's a conversation that's had a lot among a lot of different people within the athletic and education communities.
Yes. Now, what about a sport? We've talked about this before, golf. And it seems like golf is just getting stronger. You know, maybe the players getting stronger, but the participation definitely seems to be pretty level, pretty strong in the field of golf.
Well, you know, girls golf, I think we're staying pretty steady. Boys golf, we've been down a little bit, to be honest. I think the season change has maybe affected that one some. Because now you have girls golf in the fall instead of boys golf, and a lot of golfers play through, you know, they start in the summer, they come into their season at full strength. This obviously has helped girls golf quite a bit, and we have some incredible girls golf in Michigan.
Yes, we do.
As we talked about, and especially around the Lansing area. Boys golf was one of the only two sports, though, that took a pretty good dip in 11-12. Again, that number, 3.7% in population among people student age. 3.7%. Golf actually went down 6.6% from the year before. You know, hopefully that's one that bounces back. Again, I don't know that so much if that is so much that athletes just aren't participating in anything as much as maybe it is that they're doing other things. Lacrosse, for example. Lacrosse is continuing to grow and is also a spring sport. So track, things like that remain steady. So I don't know if those golfers are just not playing golf and not playing anything, or if they're merely not playing golf because they're playing something else.
Well, I know you and I have a definite love for track and field. You know, we've covered a lot of track and field meets over the years.
Sure.
And it looks like, you know, like you said, that track and field has maintained a steady growth or steady leveled off a little bit. But how do you see track and field these days now that you're at the other level? You're not just a reporter, but I know you still love track and field.
Well, and absolutely. And the thing that was cool about track and field when I was a reporter is the same thing I think is pretty neat about it now. It allows so many athletes to be involved with such a variety of skills. You don't just have to be fast. And if you're fast, how do you measure speed? Is it by how well you do in a sprint or how well you do in an endurance race? You can do either, and those are different skills, obviously. You've got your throwers, who are your big, strong athletes, maybe not who aren't your people running the 100, but, again, a different athlete doing a different kind of skill, your jumpers, things like that. So, and you have relays, which adds another part of the team aspect in there. So the cool thing about track and field, lots of athletes can be involved and in a variety of ways. There might not be another sport where there's such great variety of opportunities to contribute.
Well, one sport I know we wished that more people would get involved in. It's pretty good involvement, but that's the sport of baseball, because, you know, I know you and I how much we really love the Diamond Classic. It's a great tournament. It's great here in the mid-Michigan area. But, boy, how is baseball growing? Is it growing, or is it just leveled off?
You know, baseball seems to be holding pretty well, to be honest with you. You know, we have numbers going back to 91-92 is the first year we've got this on the stuff that I can easily pull up. We're a bit down the last couple of years, but it's not anything completely outlandish by any means. You know, again, we're trying to keep pace with where our population is as far as, you know, people of high school athlete age. And although we're down a little bit with baseball, you know, it's held steady. I mean, some of these things go up a couple hundred students, some of them go down. We had 18,000 and change play in 11-12, which was down a little bit. You know, but again, some of that might be cyclical too. We'll see if those numbers bounce back up this spring.
Yes, and I tell you, boy, it's amazing how high school sports has maintained the levels that it's been accustomed to, and it's grown somewhat over the years, or leveled off over the years, but it's maintained a pretty good level. I mean, the population shift, we know it has hurt the state of Michigan somewhat, but boy, the numbers are still pretty good, aren't they?
Well, and the good news is the one thing we did see, and we've been monitoring, participation fees since it really became a big deal here in the last 5 years. And this year we really felt like maybe that's starting to plane off a little bit. Every year we survey our schools, and between 10-11 and 11-12, there really wasn't change in how many schools and what they were charging. There was a little fluctuation, but not enough to make it look like a small enough amount where it seemed like things were kind of planing out. So I think that has something to do with these numbers staying pretty strong. I think a lot of schools go out of their way, and a lot of booster clubs and parents and everybody else do a lot of work to raise money to make it so that this is an affordable thing. You know, we still have good participation, and we still have good attendance because, you know, as we were talking about this morning, you can go to 4 championship football games for $10. There's really not a better deal than that for some very good entertainment. So it's at a level where people find that it's important. They realize it's a very good teaching tool, and a lot of people feel so strongly about it that they're doing a lot of work to make it as accessible to as many athletes in the state as possible.
Yes. Hey, just let me throw this one at you. Have you been out to Ithaca to watch a game? Have you noticed they've got a tremendous Jumbotron out there?
They do have a Jumbotron. Yeah. Well, they have that. They have kind of an, I don't want to call it an observation deck, but really it kind of is.
Yeah.
They have that second deck there where you, if you're on that, you're almost closer to the field than if you're sitting kind of in their lower bowl of bleachers. No, they were getting 2,000 plus fans for their games, you know, at a school that probably has 400 and some students, which is incredible.
Yeah, tremendous community support there in Ithaca. I mean, they do have great community support. Everybody seems to come out for the games on Friday night.
And they've won 3 championships in a row. I don't know that that's not related.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it is. So.
Yes, and the fact that they've been so well and they've got this winning streak, they're like 39th and they're, third on the list nationally or something like that in wins in a row. So that's very impressive.
Well, and I know in terms of streaks that began during the playoff era, our first playoffs being, I think, 36 years ago now, I think it's 37 now, they have the second longest winning streak. So that's pretty incredible.
It is.
In itself, considering, you know, you look at some of the schools that have simply dominated Farmington Hills, Harrison for a long time, Detroit Catholic Central, some of these others, and Ithaca's right there.
It is very impressive. Hey, Jeff, I want to thank you for being with me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And wish everyone down there at the MHSAA a very happy Christmas and a very happy new year. I just wish you, everyone down there, and you, my good friend, always wishing you a pleasant, happy holiday. I hope to see you soon, buddy.
You will. Yeah. Enjoy some well-deserved time off.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Yep, take care, Earl.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that's Jeff Kimberly from the from the Michigan High School Athletic Association. Always a pleasure talking with Jeff right here on AM 870 WKAR. I want to thank you all for listening, and thank you all for calling and being with us today. Come back tomorrow and be with us here right here on AM 870 WKAR. On Friday, Jeremy Sampson will be here on Friday. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Have yourself a safe and a pleasant evening. And we've got, a minute or so to go, and then we'll be heading on. We've got a lot of games to go to. Went and seen Hazlitt and Mason last night. Pretty good game. Wasn't a ton of scoring, but it's always nice to see a different kind of a basketball game. And that one was two young teams that were still growing and still trying to grow and get better. So we want to thank the coaches and everything for those games that we attended the other night. Once again, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 at WKAR. And, hey, we don't have much time left, but if you want, give us a call at 884-4784 if you want a chance to win tickets to Michigan State basketball. I know I put this in at the last minute on you, but hopefully if you have time, give us a call. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling WKAR.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.